The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of the land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you, and this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask me, what is his name? Then what should I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name you shall call me from generation to generation. Go, assemble the elders of Israel and say to them, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob appeared to me and said, I have watched over you and have seen what has been done to you in Egypt. And I have promised to bring you up out of your misery in Egypt into the land of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites, a land flowing with milk and honey. The elders of Israel will listen to you. Then you and the elders are to go to the king of Egypt and say to him, the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, has met with us. Let us take a 3-day journey into the wilderness to offer sacrifices to the Lord our God. But I know that the king of Egypt will not let you go unless a mighty hand compels him. So I will stretch out my hand and strike the Egyptians with all the wonders that I will perform among them. After that, he will let you go, and I will make the Egyptians favorably disposed towards this people, so that when you leave, you will not go empty-handed. Every woman is to ask her neighbor and any woman living in her house for articles of silver and gold and for clothing, which you will put on your sons and daughters, and so you will plunder the Egyptians. Moses answered, what if they do not believe me or listen to me and say, the Lord did not appear to you? Then the Lord said to him, what is that in your hand? A staff, he replied. The Lord said, throw it on the ground. Moses threw it on the ground, and it became a snake, and he ran from it. Then the Lord said to him, reach out your hand and take it by the tail. So Moses reached out and took hold of the snake, and it turned back into a staff in his hand. This, said the Lord, is so that they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has appeared to you. Then the Lord said, put your hand inside your cloak. So Moses put his hand into his cloak, and when he took it out, the skin was leprous. It had become white as snow. Now put it back in your cloak, he said. So Moses put his hand back into his cloak, and when he took it out, it was restored like the rest of his flesh. Then the Lord said, if they do not believe you or pay attention to the first sign, they may believe the second. But if they do not believe these two signs or listen to you, take some water from the Nile and pour it onto the dry ground. The water you will take from the river will become blood on the ground.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Tom Simpson. I'm the Associate Vicar here, and it's great to be with you this morning. Let's pray as we come to have a think about that reading from Exodus chapter 3. Father God, please speak to us through your word. Please help us to see how it applies to us. Please change us and grow us so that we might know you more and love you more. In Jesus' name, amen. If your Facebook feed is anything like mine, you will get, well, let's call them, well, kind of discussion pieces. Maybe ones like this one. And if you can't read the tiny writing, it says, you have 5 hours to eat this pizza and you've got to tag 9 friends to help you with. Who would you choose? Or maybe not that one. Maybe yours is slightly classier than mine. Or maybe you get one like this. A good friend calls you in jail. A great friend bails you out. Your best friend sits next to you while saying, wasn't that fun? Tag your best friend. Oh, they're a bit of fun. But if we stop to think about them for a minute, they do say something about the person we're tagging. We're saying that we trust them for a particular task, even if that task is eating in an inordinate amount of pizza. It says something about our relationship with that person, doesn't it? We know them well enough to say that they're up to the task. We know that they wouldn't let us down or get flaky. We believe in them, don't we? Now, maybe that's a silly thing to start with, but I think it makes a deeper point about life. Many of the things we do, well, they depend on who we've got in our corner, who we've got advising us. It's why I'm more likely to do something if my dad said, you ought to do this thing, than if a random stranger on the street has. But what about if it's God telling us to do something? Rather than that friend or family member or even a stranger, what if God is telling us to do something? Well, that's exactly the situation we find ourselves in Exodus 3 and 4. As Laura was really helpfully explaining, God is revealing himself to Moses in the burning bush. He's commissioning Moses for the task of rescuing his people. Moses is going to go to the elders of Israel and then to Pharaoh, and he's going to say, I'm here because I am who I am, sent me. But why does God's name matter? Why does it matter that it's God saying that? Let me ask you a question. Have you ever gone to someone or had the experience of turning up somewhere and saying, yeah, I'm here because so-and-so sent me? Or so-and-so said I should come? You know, by giving that person's name, we're hoping or expecting that the doors are going to open in a way that they wouldn't to ordinary Joe Bloggs on the street. We've got extra credibility or opportunity. And who is Moses giving the name of? Well, he's giving the Lord's name. Look at verse 14 if you've got a Bible open. Moses says, well, what's your name? In verse 13, and God says, I am who I am. Or I will be who I will be. This is what you are to say. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. Now, I am might sound like a bit of a strange name, but like so many names in the Bible, there's so much wrapped up in it. God is saying, I exist. I am the very nature of existence. I have always been. God is saying he is eternal. And actually, that's why, if you're reading on with the Bible, or if you remember what Thomas was reading to us, that's why he then goes on to say, well, this is the name you're to use from generation to generation. That's what it says in verse 15. Because God is the same. It's the same person. You know, as opposed to the kings, so we've had 8 Henrys, haven't we? But we number them because they're not the same person. Their names change. The person changes, even though they've got the same first name. That's not the same for the Lord. It just carries on. He is the same. I am. And God's eternal name is great news for Moses too. Because God has always existed, God remembers his promises to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Did you hear that as Thomas was reading it out? It just kept coming over and over and over again. If you read from chapter 3, verse 1 through to chapter 4, verse 17, it comes 5 times, this repetition of God being the same remembering Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, because God was there. Because God had always been. And so God will remember his promises. He will not grow old and die. He will not grow weak in old age. God will always be. And so God will always be, well, God. Not only that, God's eternal name means that God is a rescuing God. Again, it's repeated through the passage if you were to read it through again. God always is, and so God always remembers his promises. But before Moses is kind of overwhelmed with the responsibility to go and rescue God's people, this rescuing God, well, it doesn't depend on Moses, it depends on God. One who will bring them out with a mighty hand, as you see in verse 19, rather than the hand of Moses. You know, it's not like the film The Great Escape, where the inmates have to work out their own way to get free. No, it's God who will rescue the Israelites. All Moses and the Israelites have to do is trust God as they undertake the task he's asked of them. Now, I suspect most of us in our day-to-day lives have to give commands to people. You might not think of it as such, but maybe it's asking the children to go and tidy their room or put their toys away. It's a command, isn't it? Or maybe it's at work. You're giving an instruction to a subordinate. And maybe when you do that, you sometimes get a sense that there's an issue. It might be that the person's dragging their feet or procrastinating or, let's be honest, if you're dealing with children, it might just be sitting on the floor and having a tantrum. There's an issue with what you've asked them to do. And we see that with Moses as we go through chapters 3 and chapter 4. It starts with a fairly reasonable objection. Well, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And if you were here last week, we finished the sermon with Moses as an exile, a foreigner, an outcast. That's kind of an understandable objection. But as we go through the chapters, well, we get to verse 13. Well, suppose the Israelites object. Suppose they don't want me. Or maybe in chapter 4, what if they still don't believe me? You know, it's building and building until we get to chapter 4. Pardon your servant, Lord. Please send somebody else. I just don't want to do it. We're not told exactly why, but I think we can kind of understand it. Moses has to confront Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, the man with total control over life and death in that land. And he's going to say something that Pharaoh really doesn't want to hear. Not only that, he's got to go back to the people who rejected him and lead them out. It's going to be really hard. I can kind of understand where he's coming from. Maybe he's afraid. Maybe he's doubting that God is going to be able to do something about it. So it all comes back to the question that we started with at the beginning. Well, why should Moses trust God instead of just giving in to his fears and doubts? Well, the answer is because of who's sending him. I am. The eternal God of heaven is sending Moses. But not only that, God is merciful and loving to Moses. All the way through, Moses is giving signs and wonders to demonstrate that God is with him. But actually, I think the first answer that Moses received from God just encapsulates it really beautifully. Because actually the key thing for Moses, the reason why he should trust him is, well, it's in verse 12 of chapter 3. I will be with you. You're not doing this on your own. He's equipping him, walking alongside him. Even though Moses is afraid, he need not fear. The all-powerful, eternal God is with him. And who is Pharaoh? Who is anyone in Egypt in the face of that? As Christians, we too can feel like Moses, can't we? We know that God has wonderfully called us and saved us, and similarly, he's asked us to do a few things as a result of that wonderful joy of knowing him. We're to live our lives for Christ. We're to tell others about our faith so that they might share in that joy too. But we often don't want to do it. We get scared of telling others because, well, people are scary and, well, they might not like us and they might even hurt us if we tell us about Jesus, whether by word or action. Or maybe we can't bring ourselves to let go of that habit, that attitude, that sin. Because, well, what if... I think we all get that feeling. We all get those sensations where we doubt, we fear. We all know it to a greater and lesser extent, just like Moses, like all the Christians down the ages. But the great thing about this passage is the way that God, in the way that he appears to Moses and what he says about himself, well, that's still true for us too. That's the answer that we need too. We need to remember who God is and how he's equipped us too for the task at hand. And in the same way that God equipped Moses, how much more has God blessed us? He sent his own Son to redeem us. He sent his Holy Spirit to live within us. He's given us the Bible to guide us so that Christians can be totally confident that God loves us, that he cares for us, that he's equipped us for the task at hand. So how do we deal with our fears and doubts? Well, we remember who God is and all that he's given us. Now let me stop there. And I've got something to do to help us kind of really drive this home as we finish. Because if you're anything like me, we can come to the end of a sermon and we can think, yeah, great. But actually, we don't often internalize it. We don't drive home what it means for us. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to put a question on the screen. And I want us to have a bit of a think about it. And I realize that with, especially if you've got small children, it's not as easy to concentrate now. So maybe have a think about it at home. Obviously, this will appear on the YouTube video afterwards. So you can find it there if you can't remember it. And the question is this. Well, when do we find it hard to trust God's words? You know, maybe that's to believe that you're really saved, to tell others about Jesus, to love other believers, to turn away from a particular sin or habit. And then how does remembering who God is help us with this? Have a go at answering it in your head. Try and think about one thing. And if it's really tough or if you're not sure, don't despair. Talk to a friend, maybe a small group leader, maybe one of the leadership team here to help you think it through and commit to praying through it. Have a think now.